Let us pray together. Gracious God, we acknowledge your greatness. We acknowledge your creation, and we are overwhelmed when we consider the intricacy of how our own bodies even work. And as we look at the grandeur of the rivers and streams and valleys and mountains and oceans and creatures that you have created to fill this world, we pray that you would help us as we consider these things to consider the Creator. For you made them all with your creative hand. And we thank you that not only did you create us, but you love us. And part of your expression of that love is to give us your word to tell us who you are and to tell us who we are, so that we might discover fellowship with you. And we pray that you would guide us into deeper and deeper fellowship with you, that we would entrust more and more of ourselves and our lives to your care, sensing your presence and your guidance. We pray this morning that through your word read and proclaimed, that your Holy Spirit would move within us to challenge our worldly assumptions and to give us courage and energy to change, so that we can become more the people that you desire that we be. And you desire this not just for your sake, but for ours. For you know that only you can truly satisfy the human heart. So by your Holy Spirit, move within us. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two scripture passages I'm going to read this morning. The order in your bulletin, I'm going to switch up and start with the 1 Timothy passage, 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 12, and then 17 through 19. Paul writes, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For if we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." And then from Luke, Jesus speaking said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." We all want to be happy. We all want to feel content. We all want to feel joy and peace. We all want to feel like things are okay. And we pursue all kinds of things in order to help us to feel that things are okay, that we are in control, that the world will not go spinning out of control on our watch. And we work hard at this. And we believe that certain things will help us be calm and at peace, will reduce our anxiety. And one of those things, according to the world around us, is to have enough stuff. And so we accumulate stuff, or we hope to accumulate stuff, and we find that stuff often creates more anxiety. I was talking to someone recently who, she's not a hoarder yet. Or at least her house isn't full enough yet to be a hoarder or considered one. But she said she just can't get rid of things because of sentimental value, because of the memories. I always try to tell people, you know, the memories take up no space. They're all up here. You don't have to have the thing to have the memory. But that's another point. But this person believes that these things bring her stability, bring her satisfaction, bring her calm. And yet she said, all this stuff makes my house an anxious house. So the lie is that they'll bring satisfaction, but the truth is they bring more stress. And that's the case with so many things in this world, that we think they're going to do one thing for us, but they actually do something else. And that's what Jesus and Paul are both talking about here. We tend to think that wealth will bring peace and comfort and satisfaction, but in fact, it often brings anxiety. Soren Kierkegaard said that using wealth to guard your sense of calm is like using a wolf to guard your sheep. Because the very thing that you're guarding against is the thing that you're using to guard. Because the wealth creates more anxiety than it alleviates much of the time. The key, of course, and Jesus didn't say, nor did Paul, that wealth is bad. You know, we often hear Paul misquoted saying, money is the root of all evil. That is not what Paul said. Paul said, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is the problem. And anything that we love more than God is the problem. We seek something that will make us feel good, and to fill that place within us that only God can fill, be it money or success or food or exercise or whatever it might be, relationships. All of these things are good in and of themselves. Money has its place. In fact, the apostles and Jesus and Paul all benefited from wealthy people who were able to support them in their ministry. It's not that money is wrong, but it's the attitude toward money. It's not that food is wrong, it's the attitude toward food. It's not that success is wrong, it's the attitude toward that success. And I could go on and on. The problem is that those things say they will provide peace, and they actually do not. And it is, I have about, well, we'll say 10 more minutes here with you. And I'm going to try to accomplish a message into your minds and into mine and into our hearts. But I know that when you leave here and you turn on the radio or you turn on your TV this afternoon or you talk to your friends, you will hear conflicting messages, and you will hear those messages for the remainder of the week. That if you only get this kind of car, or if you only save up this amount of money, or if you could only have this relationship, whatever it might be, that then you would be happy. And God says, only I can bring the depth of satisfaction to your hearts that you are seeking. So what we must do is wean ourselves from those things. That's why the title this week is Simplicity. We need to wean ourselves of those things which claim that place of prominence in our lives. Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and money, for you will love the one and hate the other. You'll hate the one and love the other. And we say, yes, I can. And Jesus says, no, you can't. And it's funny because what we think, we think that we can get God to give us the things we want. And Jesus even said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you as well. So people say, okay, well, I'm going to seek God and then I'll get money or whatever it is that I think I want. We think that God's desire is to fulfill all the desires of our hearts. Now, God does fulfill all the true desires of our hearts, but the twisted desires of our hearts he does not fill. And if we are pursuing God in order to get what God can provide, we're not really pursuing God at all, are we? Really? Because we're using God to get what we think is going to bring our lives meaning and purpose and value and peace. God is a pursuit worthy of a singular focus. Our relationship with God is the one most valuable pursuit that our lives can have. And when we see that money or food or success or whatever it might be is getting in the way, it is wise for us to step back. Maybe pursuit of riches has got overcome you. Well, ask yourself, do I need this or this or this that I think I need? And if those things have become sort of idols for you, then say no to them. And the world says, no, you can't say no. You have to get them. That's why we have a huge problem in our land with credit card debt and other debt that people are carrying as a burden, not as something that reduces anxiety, but something that creates great anxiety. Because they thought this thing would provide something it's not providing, but it only provides grief. Give, pray, and fast. All of these things are to refocus our minds and hearts on God so that we can truly live. And that's, I love the line at the end of 1 Timothy in verse 19 of chapter 6. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, and hear this, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Jesus said in John 17:3, I came that they might have eternal life, which is fellowship with the Father and the Son. Real life, now and in eternity, is having fellowship with God, allowing God to work within us to bring peace and comfort and strength, and also to reorient our lives so that we acknowledge that our purpose is to be in relationship with God and to serve God. I love this person's name. Her parents are very creative. Anyway, her name is Tahira Hira. Tahira Hira, a health, human development and family studies professor at Iowa State University, said, our money behavior is actually a big expression of who we are inside. It shows how much we are willing to accept reality and how much we want to be something that we are not. Jesus calls the man in the parable a fool. And the definition of a fool throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament is someone who refuses to accept reality for reality. This man thought that by accumulating things and storing them away, he made his life valuable. He was storing away for the future, and God says, you fool, you don't have a future that can use these things. And his life was taken, and his things were spread. Now, I'm going to do something that I've done 4 times already this week, and it was fun, so I'm doing it again. It's from the Rhyme Bible. We found this Ginny found it for the preschool, and it tells the same story, and it may be a way that might relate more easily for some. Once there was a wealthy man who had a very stingy plan. He put his money on a shelf and vowed to keep it for himself. Oh. He filled his bulging barns with wheat, and though he had enough to eat, he wouldn't share. He didn't care that others had no bread or meat. At breakfast time, with toast and tea, he liked to sing this melody. I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm filthy rich, I'll never have to dig a ditch or slave away or work all day. I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. And when he ate at his lunch at noon, he hummed a cheery little tune. It's nice to be, ho, ho, hee, hee, a man as filthy rich as me. Although he filled up every drawer, it only made him wish for more. I have 3 cats, but I want 4. I have some cows, but I want more. And when at last he had no room, this man began to fuss and fume until he thought, aha, why not? I'll build a bigger, better place where I'll have lots of space. But there was something he forgot. Those who get but never give choose a very foolish way to live. When that night the rich man died, not one person even cried. And what became of all that stuff? Those who didn't have enough stood in line that very day, and they gave it all away. Those who get but do not give choose a foolish way to live. For it creates trust within us of things rather than in the one who provides those things. If there is something in your life that is causing you to trust it instead of God, the spiritual discipline that will help to release you from it is to abstain, to consider your spending if it is money, to give it away if it has a hold on you. It is good to abstain from food for a season. A good way that I've found to fast is from lunch to lunch. Some people will allow themselves fruit juices tomato juice or vegetable juices during that time. Some do not, but whatever it is, what it does for you is it helps you and your body to release that thing that typically gives you comfort. And fasting is not just about food. It can be from television. It can be from Facebook. It can be from checking your email 12 times a day, get it down to 1 or 4. But whatever it is that's holding on to your heart, work at releasing it to allow yourself to experience the only one who can truly fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Your Creator. Let us pray together. We thank you for your gracious provision for us, O Lord, and we ask that you would help us remember that every good and perfect gift comes from you. We pray, thanking you once again for all those gifts, and praying that we would receive them as gifts from you, as things that point us to you and point us to give thanksgiving to you, and not as ends in themselves. We lift up to you those listed on our prayer page, so many who are struggling with cancer, so many who are struggling with other health concerns. We pray that you would strengthen them and bring healing and strength. We pray for those who are in care facilities and others who are shut into their homes, who are not able to get out through because of health reasons. We pray that you would bring comfort to them and remind us of them. We pray that you would guide us to reach out to them with cards and letters and visits. We pray for our church, that you would strengthen us to be truly your people. We pray for your Holy Spirit to move within us, that we might sense your presence and that we might live in knowledge of your goodness and your grace. We pray for our nation, for those traveling this holiday week. We pray for the community of Sutherland Springs, Texas, after the shooting at the Baptist church there. We pray for those who are continuing to deal with the impact of the recent hurricanes. We pray for our world, for world leaders as they deal with conflict, for the political unrest in Zimbabwe, and for those impacted by the earthquake in Iraq and Iran. And Lord, we all have in our own minds and hearts our own prayers that we lift to you, asking you to be at work in these situations that involve our loved ones, or these situations we hear about on the news, that you would strengthen us to work in those situations, to bring your presence. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would equip those who are involved to know that you are with them and to bring strength and hope. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Amen.